And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on today's experience. Our DDD, devotional diamond of the day. From bad to worse. From bad to worse. That's not good. Darkest before light. That'll be the next segment. Then we're going to look at changing it up and close it out with nothing becomes everything.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. I think Shuby's going to be on tomorrow. I think we can cover politics tomorrow. I don't think we have to cover politics today. Let's not. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-KPRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation. Because it's not professional radio. No. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience. Doesn't it sound like it's skipping when I do that? Doesn't it sound like the intro I'm skipping like, hip, hip, hip. That was my goal. Anyway, right here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Stand by.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Do you happen to know what termites hate? Termites hate heat. So when it gets blistering hot outside, guess where they go? That's right, into your nice, cool house. They ought to be sending you thank you notes. However, my friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady, owner of Ecola, has a patented process called Ecola Heat that turns the tables on termites and kills them. Yes. And Sue, this is just one of your family-friendly alternative methods of killing termites?
That's right, Dave. We use mostly natural, non-toxic solutions that can be more convenient and less costly, along with traditional methods. Call us today for a free inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating termites in your home and keep them away. First-time customers get $100 off.
Call Ecola, 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS, or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly.
Not for escrows.
I'm big on the question that you have to ask and answer as a parent, as a teacher, anybody. The question is, what's the point?
If homework is a battle, it might be because your way of doing things doesn't work for your child. Here's Cynthia Tobias on Focus on the Family Minute.
Is the point that I have them sitting quietly at their desk with the light like they're supposed to, or is the point that they do the homework? Michael did his homework at the kitchen table quietly, just like a good child should. But Robert, he goes out in the living room, and every day during the fourth grade, every night for homework, he was on his stomach on top of the coffee table with his feet dangling in the air, doing his homework. And both boys did their homework, and I had to say, well, we're just not going to put anything on the coffee table, because the bottom line is, oh my goodness, if he does his homework and that works, I'm in favor. And again, what's the point? Do you want me to sit at the desk, or do you want me to do the homework?
Hear more from Cynthia about avoiding homework battles at FamilyMinute.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't forget, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about hisappointment.com, the book, and also the Facebook, The David Spoon Experience. Plus, KPRZ has a Facebook, and they always, done by our very own Susie Q, always have cool pictures with like scriptures on it. You ever notice those are cool looking pictures? Sometimes they collage them together. Susie Lopez, our very own, helps coordinate all those for Facebook, and they're inspirational. So we'd encourage you to check it out. We are going to cover a couple of different segments. The first one is called From Bad to Worse. If you're me, it doesn't sound great. Now, it sounds like it goes from bad to worse. Wait, that is the title. Are those sounds still stuck in the... we'll just skip them and go into this. So I want to give you a background. This is going to come out of the book of Ruth. For those that don't know, Ruth is in the Old Testament. It's right by the book of Hezekiah. I'm just kidding. There is no book Hezekiah. It just sounds like a book. All right. For those of you that started to think where that book was, you need to do some work. Here, I found a summary on Ruth in the introduction part. This is the most unique summary I have ever heard. I have read multiple summaries, and this is probably the most bizarre summary I've ever heard. So I'm going to give it to you, and it's only a paragraph and a half, and then we'll get into the review of it all. Here is a summary of where we're at. Our story opens up on a nice Jewish family with a problem. Famine has hit Bethlehem, which forces Elimelech and his wife Naomi to move east to Moab with their two sons to get some grub. There they set up shop, eat some food, and live for about 10 years. The sons marry two local girls, Ruth and Orpah. That's where Oprah got her name. Her parents mispronounced it. That's actually not a joke. It's for real. During this time, life is not that bad. However, things change pretty drastically, and that's what we want to talk about. So you have a little bit of background there, right? You heard the story. You kind of know what's going on. Let's talk about it. The first things that take place is Naomi, who has her husband and her two sons, but no grandkids. Naomi suffers terrible loss. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to Moab and they lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. This is not very good, because Naomi's husband dies, and now she has two sons, and the two sons are married to two gals, two Moabites, and they don't have any grandkids, and for Naomi, she's already left where she was because of the famine. So they leave Bethlehem and they go to Moab and they do find some food, but of all tragedies, her husband dies. So now she has her two sons and two women who are her daughters-in-law from a foreign land. Then her two sons die. So now Naomi is without a husband and without her sons, and without any grandkids. And she is deeply hurt. Goes from bad to worse. I just want you to maybe recognize the depth of her struggle. For Naomi's struggle is genuine, sincere. It's brutal. To lose your spouse is brutal. And there are many out there who listen to me on a regular basis who have gone through that process, and we weep for you. That's a very tough thing. And then after that, Naomi loses her two sons. Now, the problem there is that now she doesn't have her husband, her partner, and now she doesn't have any offspring. So if you're her, how you feeling? Pretty poor. Well, one, it does tell you that you and I complain way too much because look what's going on to her. However, in fairness, she's about to do her own amount of complaining. This is not where it's going to stop. This is where it kind of all begins. So here at this point, she decides she's going to go back to Bethlehem. Probably a good call because she doesn't have anybody in that she's connected to that deeply in Moab. And so she tells her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your families. Just go back. I'm going to go back. And nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. And you know, they were like, oh, we'll stay with you. And she's like, what am I going to do? I can't have any more kids that are going to produce a child where you can marry them. There's nothing good that's going to happen for me. It's all bad. And I do want to say that there are many people in Christianity who do that. It's not quite to Naomi's stage, but they do that. It's all bad. There's nothing good. And then it's not that there's just a focus. It's just that these heavy things have happened, and they so fill the day. So listen to what she says, because what happens is Ruth is like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with you. And then there's Naomi going, no, go back home. She's like, no, I'm not. I'm not going. I'm staying with you. And then it's like, all right. Naomi says, all right, just hang out. See what happens. But she's not promising anything. She doesn't know if anything good's going to happen. Verse 19. So the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. So they come back to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Who's getting the blame, folks? Who's getting the blame? God is getting the blame. The one thing Naomi had was the courage to say it out loud. There's a lot of believers that go through a lot of difficult times and they won't say it, but they think it. Look, she's incorrect in trying to accuse God of fault, but this is where she's at. And the scripture records it. I have had this discussion with somebody relatively close to me, and they said, well, you should never tell the Lord that you're mad. It's like, are you kidding? He knows every inner thought. He knows every inner thought before I know the thought. He knows if I'm angry, even if it's an unrighteous anger, even if it's misplaced. God still knows. That's what omniscience is. And so she's like, you know, I left full. I came back empty. I had all this going on. Things were great. Now I got nothing. And I'm hurting. And she was bitter. The pain was causing bitterness. And I don't think that there's, I think scripture puts it in here specifically so you and I can look at this and go, I know that feeling. I know that moment. I know that hour. And not deny it, but learn from it. For Naomi, they went from bad to worse. And it's worse still. We're going to take a short break, come back, and pick up on the story. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere. You are the truth in life.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching, from a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business. San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
I am not getting on that thing.
Come on, it's just a roller coaster.
Just a roller coaster? Are you kidding me? It's called the Twisted Tornado. Nope, not doing it.
At the amusement park, you can choose whether to ride the roller coaster. But in life, there is no choice. In fact, you're already on it. The roller coaster of life is filled with all kinds of ups and downs. It can be exhausting. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can change all that. When you ask Him to forgive your sins and take control of your life, something amazing happens. He fills you with joy and peace and purpose that can't be shaken, not by the highest highs or the lowest lows. Then when this ride of life is over, Jesus will welcome you into heaven, where your new life will be more wonderful than you can ever begin to imagine. Learn all about this at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan face a very difficult choice as they survey the smoking ruins of their unified GOP government after nearly 6 months in office. They could decide to pivot from health care to racking up small victories and awaiting reinforcements from the 2018 elections. Or they could go for a big deal with Democrats. It's a tough choice for Ryan and McConnell, but I'm hoping they opt for the latter. Putting off fixing the disaster that is Obamacare is risky, though not impossible. If Republicans score enough small victories between now and November 2018, it may be possible to hold both houses of the Congress. The 2018 prospects look bad for both parties. The GOP lacks policy victories thanks to the imprudence of the Freedom Caucus in the House and scared moderates and rigid conservatives in the Senate. The Democrats are lost in Trump hatred to the point where a large part of the country thinks that they and the mainstream media are deranged. We're at a crisis point where citizens are giving up on representative government en masse. So why not swing for the fences? I'm Hugh Hewitt.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is a good way to go about that. We have been spending a little bit of time talking about the book of Ruth and talking about Naomi, who definitely went through, I would say, more than a difficult time, because if you lose your husband, then you lose your kids, it's a horrible time. And I was just mentioning to Tugboat Todd, her name, Naomi, meant pleasant, so she changed it to Mara, which means bitter. So she kind of went from pleasant to bitter, right? Life is good. And now life is not good, not just not good, horrible. And so you see this progression. And again, and I would actually argue this point ad nauseum, which is a nice way of saying I'd argue it to the ends of the earth, that the scripture keeps this intact for you and I to read, for us to understand that God is not unaware of those times where we go through pain and bitterness and disappointment. And he's not unaware that we point the finger at him. This is not a news flash for God. This is the one thing I wish we could figure out is when it says omniscient, that's what it means. It's like, okay, it's like it's an egg. Okay, that's what it means, you know. So omniscient means knowing everything. So there's nothing that's getting by the Lord. He's not up there going, oh, what? I didn't see that. That's not how it works. So here's Naomi and Ruth. And really, let's talk about how low she goes. She loses her husband. She loses her kids. She has no grandkids, which you must understand. She is not going to be a part of the Messiah lineage, right? That's the dream of every person, of every Jewish mother, grandmother, having children, is that their child will have that lineage connection to the Messiah. Not happening. She goes back to, back to Bethlehem, and she's got nothing. Ruth is with her. And in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. And Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. Do you understand where that is saying? That means that after the pickers have picked the fruit, what Ruth is asking to do is take any fruit that wasn't picked or that fell on the ground and use that as sustenance, as food. That is as broke as it goes. That's in their time versus people sitting in the middle of a metropolitan city in that same capacity when there was more of a ruralness to the land. That's what the poor people did. They asked if they can go behind the harvesters and pick whatever the harvesters don't deem worthwhile to pick. And they just want to know if they can live off of that. So Naomi is broke. Can I make this emphasis? She has no money. She's got no husband. She's got no children. She's got no visible heritage. And she's broke. That is at the bottom, which is why this is called darkest before light. We'll skip the sound because of where it's going to go. So I want you to get that because that is, probably about five times in my lifetime where I felt at the bottom. Well, this is for her the deepest, the harshest, and the worst of all the at the bottoms in her life. And she's not like she's a spring chicken, okay? In chapter 2, verse 17, something happens. Here is what happens. Ruth gleans in the field. Here's what it says. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and she threshed the barley she had gathered, and the amount was an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over from what she had eaten. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. She said, the Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and to the dead. Here is what Naomi got. Ready? She got a sliver of hope. She got a sliver of hope. Maybe I could use a different word. She got a splinter of hope. Just a little thing. She lost her husband. She lost her kids. She's broke. All of a sudden, Ruth makes one connection. She's picking fruit off of one field where she makes a connection. And all of a sudden, the darkness, which was as dark as it can get, there's a small pin of a light. And she recognizes there's a sliver of hope. There's a splinter of something good. There is an opportunity to see something other than darkness. How amazing is that? When it all looks like it's never going to get better, a pin drop of hope comes into play. And all of a sudden, Naomi and Ruth have a smile. Have you gone through something really bad, can't smile anymore? You are not alone, and you nor shall you ever be alone in that realm. But guess what? It just takes one connection, one moment for things to shift. You know how long it takes for a miracle? A moment. You know how long a moment is? Okay, blink your eye. All right, blink your eye, right? That's not a moment, okay? All right, you ever see the twinkle in a person's eye? Ever heard that expression? That's much faster than a blink, right? That's not a moment. A moment's even faster. That's how fast God can change things. You think, but he hasn't. No, maybe not yet. But don't say he won't. You don't know that. You might be thinking, this is my lot. It's not going to change. Da-da-da-da-da. It's like you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know if you might be one person, one time, in one situation, or think of one thought that you had never thought before, or see one scripture that you had not embraced before that changes your mind and your life and your heart. And all Ruth and Naomi got was this small little moment of hope. And you know what it said? It said the bitterness is not the only plan out there. So if you're bitter, I do not say just become unbitter. Because I don't know how you say that to somebody who's hurt. I think what you can say is look for the sliver of hope that at some point will break through the darkness. And it's hard to hang on and believe, but that is what is required. Does that mean that it's easy? I don't think so. It's never been easy for me unless I'm just missing something. It's not always easy, but it is important to be able to see the sliver of hope, just the little bit of light, just to, even if it's just to make it through yet another day, it's just that little bit. And just hang in there. Without abandoning the faith. Because God can change your life in a moment. So they saw that moment. When we come back, I want to show you what the moment did for them. And maybe it'll do that for you, what we talk about. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
What am I doing here?
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electrogun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
In our marriages and families, we need to heed the advice of an old, old hymn.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey. Today is Thursday, August 3rd. Here's a song I remember from Sunday school.
That's a great hymn. The Bible is full of stories about God blessing people who trusted and obeyed His commandments. The 11th chapter of Hebrews reminds us of heroes like Noah, Abraham, Moses. They stand as examples of people who were blessed because of their faithful obedience. Trust and obey works in families too. When a man and a woman are married in a holy lifelong commitment to God, they receive his blessing. Does this mean that marriage will never have its problems? Of course not. Your family and mine will take its hits, but our setbacks are temporary when we do things God's way. One final thought. As you read and study the Bible, determine if you and your family are trusting God and obeying his commandments. If you're not, maybe it's time to begin to trust and obey. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been talking about going through bitterness. And there are a lot of people in life that have gone through bitterness or experienced bitterness. And that is not unusual. And Scripture addresses that. I think it's Scripture in its most definitive explanation between Job and the book of Ruth. You get an understanding that God is well aware of the trauma and the drama that we go through as people. I mean, it's just like it's recorded there. So here's a gal who lost, there's a famine where she lives. Her and her husband go with their kids. They go into a foreign land. The kids get married. So they're old enough to get married. The husband dies. The two kids die. She's coming back. The daughter-in-laws, one goes home. The other one stays with Naomi, and that's Ruth. That's why the book's called Ruth. She comes back. She goes, I'm empty. I got nothing. I'm bitter. I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I remember probably about 92 or 93 was a big push in the church about wounded Christians. It was just kind of something that was going on, and that's some of what happened to me in my own process. There's a reality to the fact that if somebody hurts you in the church or you go through this process even with the Lord and you don't know why, it hurts. I mean, come on. That's part of it. I mean, you understand that. That's why you understand that Scripture doesn't say, you know, once you become a Christian, everything is, you know, it's like, you know, cherry soda. Everything's just great. Cotton candy for everybody. It's like, that's not how that works. It's through many tribulations, the book of Acts teaches us that one must enter the kingdom of God. There's a lot of fire. There's a lot of warfare. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of testing. It's all of that. That's all of what we go through. It's not limited. Here in this one moment where Ruth and Naomi are so broke that they're going to, you know, go behind the lowest of workers and gather whatever the workers decided not to choose for food. They're going to go behind them and use that, whatever's left over. And Scripture does command, by the way, in the Old Testament, that they not gather every single piece off the tree. So you do want to understand that they're supposed to leave it for the most charitable cases. That's what Ruth and Naomi were, the most charitable case. No husband, no sons, no grandchildren, no Messiah connection, and broke. It's not a happy picture. But they have this one sliver of hope, and from that one sliver of hope comes a lot of different elements. So I want to talk about that in a second, but just before we get to there, we find out that Boaz is called a kinsman redeemer or a guardian redeemer. And people have asked me, what is it really, a kinsman redeemer? It's a very interesting term, and in the Jewish culture, it has most practical, it has four definitions or four functions. I just want you to know it so you can understand, because Christ is often called our kinsman redeemer. The first and foremost definition of a kinsman redeemer is a person who protects the interests of needy members of an extended family. That's what a kinsman redeemer is, kind of like the patriarch that kind of oversees and goes, well, they're connected to us by blood and we can't let them live in the street. That's kind of what that is. So they provide an heir for a brother who died. They redeem land sold outside of the family because the land had to be sold out of poverty. They redeem a relative sold in slavery, and they avenge the killing of a relative. So a kinsman redeemer has a lot of functions. Turns out Boaz is the kinsman redeemer for Naomi. Kind of cool. Here is the next thing that happens when they have the sliver of hope. Guess what happens? Guess what happens? Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, who with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley in the threshing floor. Wash and perfume on and get dressed in your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor and don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." All of a sudden, because of this sliver of hope that Naomi has, she comes up with a plan. Naomi goes, I got an idea. Let's do this. I'm going to connect you to Boaz. And it's like you think, wait a minute, aren't you all bitter? Aren't you all angry? Yeah, but the sliver of hope gave her a change of attitude. Period. And now she's like, you know, we got this Boaz connection. He's our kinsman redeemer. Maybe we should use this. And so now she's thinking in this other frame. And what she did was she basically, and you can say it a million ways, and I'm not talking about self-help books, so take a chill pill, all right? But she changed and had a fresh attitude. Instead of looking at everything through the bitterness filter, which she's probably more entitled than most of us, she went, you know what? There is a crack in the door here. And might as well go for it. Got nothing to lose. I mean, when you're at the bottom, there is one thing about being at the bottom that nobody can deny. You can't go lower when you're at the bottom. When you're down, you're down. Up you go. So she sees this moment, this opportunity, and she takes a fresh look at it and goes, you know, I can do this. I can do this. I think some of us don't realize that there are other opportunities for us when we're in a situation. You look at a situation, and I know this from personal experience. I know this from people. You get yourself in a situation, you think you're stuck and it can never change. Ridiculous. Let me ask you a question. If they dropped an atom bomb in the middle of San Diego, would your life change tomorrow? Yes. So don't tell me it can never change. Okay, just don't say that. And if God decided to drop a favorable peace into your life in the next 24 hours, would it change you? Yeah. You'd be like, whoa, God's here. You know, when that thing happened, and for those that don't know, maybe you can refer to the podcast. Well, that thing happened this morning between Steve Wheeler and Sam, how Sam donated to Steve's Whitefield's ministry. And at 15 minutes prior, Steve had just forwarded that money to plant a new church. And 15 minutes later, he gets the money back. When that happened, I think that affected both of them. It probably changed what they were thinking, just going through life, doing our stuff. And all of a sudden, now they're planting a church, where a place where they can feed starving kids. I bet they weren't thinking that. I bet Sam wasn't thinking that when he put the $1,000 in. I'm gonna do starving children. I bet Steve wasn't thinking God's going to cover this within 15 minutes. Because anything can happen to alter and to change things. All of a sudden, Naomi has this fresh attitude, and she's like, all right, okay. I see a sliver of hope. I'm going to step into this. Here'd be my response. Why not? Got nothing to lose. At that point, you're already down in the dumps. Now, look what happens in chapter 4, verse 14 through 17. Because what happens is Ruth ultimately gets together with Boaz. This is because I'm not skipping tons of the story because I can never do it in an hour. And they get together. And guess what? Boaz and Ruth, husband and wife, guess what they do? They have a baby. What? How did they go from broke and nobody and nothing to, what do you mean they had a baby? Listen to chapter 4, verse 14 through 17. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who's better to you than seven sons, has given birth." Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. And you're thinking, okay. Look at the redemption and the restoration. They go from broke and nada to now Boaz and Ruth are married and Naomi's like, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. You know, people who walk with swagger and then all of a sudden the swagger's gone. Well, the swagger was back. And Naomi's like, that's right. Why? Because it only takes the Lord a certain amount, so to speak, to change it all. Is he going to change what you're doing in your relationship? I don't know. What about, what about at work? I don't know. What about in your dreams? I don't know. All I know is he can, and the pursuit of him is the only way to have that take place. Now, here's the most beautiful thing of all. Obed, was the father of Jesse. Just so you can understand, Ruth and Boaz get together and have a son. Okay? This son, he is called Obed. He's the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. Which David? King David. What? Yeah, here's the thing. This lady, Naomi, went from no lineage to the great-great-grandma of King David. Not only did she move from no husband, two sons, no husband, no more sons, no grandchildren, broke, to great-great-grandma of King David. If you are not aware, the Messiah comes through the line of King David. She went from no way, not going to happen, can't be done, to being a direct part of the line. Why? Because God said so. Take a short break and come back for the windup. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed any.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
In our marriages and families, we need to heed the advice of an old, old hymn.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey. Today is Thursday, August 3rd. Here's a song I remember from Sunday school.
That's a great hymn. The Bible is full of stories about God blessing people who trusted and obeyed His commandments. The 11th chapter of Hebrews reminds us of heroes like Noah, Abraham, Moses. They stand as examples of people who were blessed because of their faithful obedience. Trust and obey works in families too. When a man and a woman are married in a holy lifelong commitment to God, they receive His blessing. Does this mean that marriage will never have its problems? Of course not. Your family and mine will take its hits, but our setbacks are temporary when we do things God's way. One final thought. As you read and study the Bible, determine if you and your family are trusting God and obeying His commandments. If you're not, maybe it's time to begin to trust and obey. I'm Dennis Rainey.
And that's real family life.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A challenging word, I think, that we've covered today. We started off talking about Naomi and her situation going from bad to worse. And then we talked about the situation being darkest before there was a sliver of light. And I even think, I'm not sure how big the correspondence is between sliver and splinter. All I know is that when I get a splinter, it's super, 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 super small. It's usually in my fingers, which are super, 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 super sensitive. And it usually feels like somebody's hitting me with a really big, 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 big hammer in my hand. And yet it's just this small little itty bitty thing. Well, guess what? Hope, the opportunity of hope, is like that splinter. It kind of affects you entirely and opens you up to a whole new attitude, a whole new viewpoint. And the bottom line in that is that there is, in that fresh attitude, an opportunity to see where the redemption and the restoration for your life is. I mean, this is the kind of operation that requires some deep thought. I mean, I'm not kidding. The scripture includes this story with Ruth, the story with Job, so that we can recognize that God recognizes there is a struggle. And he is the answer. The answer might not come when you want. The answer might not come how you want. But then again, you don't have the job of God. So that's okay. So in this situation, Naomi goes from no husband, her two sons die, the two daughter-in-law she tells to go back. Ruth won't go back. She comes to the situation. She's got no grandkids, no chance of being connected to the Messiahship or lineage. And it turns out when the story is done that she ends up being the great-great-grandma of King David, and that her connection to Ruth and to Obed, who was, you know, Obed, you know, begat Jesse, Jesse begat David, that this is all because of that sliver of hope that she changed her attitude in and kind of made an adjustment in. So really, it's amazing. Great, great story. And that should give us hope. And that should give us an understanding that, hey, that this is not the end of anything. First of all, if you're older, you should know it's not the end of anything because you know there's more in store. And if you're younger, it's just wise to maybe heed those that are older. You are not forever in the position you're in. If the Lord changes it, you'll just be taking every one of those words back, right?
Sorry, I never meant to say it.
Here's the cool thing about God that I love, and I think this is helpful, and I hope you'll use it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There is a lack of confidence in some of us as to how the Lord will or won't do it, and certainly in society there is a huge amount of distrust in religious organizations and, you know, in certain faith-based elements and certain, I mean, there's this, a lot of mistrust in the world and a lot of mistrust in the religions and a lot of mistrust all over the place and all that stuff. That's fine. What you and I can't do is misplace our trust in the Lord, because the scripture is absolutely clear. He who calls you is faithful and he will do it. You don't got to worry about whether somebody on television or radio or on the internet thinks that God will do it. Who cares what they think? They don't have a heaven to put you in. Only God has a heaven to put you in. Heaven is God's home and Jesus is the door. Get a clue. You know, one of our favorite sayings, go to the bank, take out a loan and buy a clue. I mean, come on. And how God takes nothing and it becomes everything. And here's Naomi just at the bitter end. Isn't it funny how at the end of the beginning of the story, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. Call me Mara, because that means bitter. But at the end of the story, they're calling her Naomi again. So from pleasant to bitter to pleasant. Sound familiar? Does to me. And when she saw that sliver of hope, she was able to process a new attitude, a new viewpoint. And just think, here's something that nobody discusses. Just think, because of Naomi, in the Bible, there's something called the Book of Ruth. So Naomi's story is in Holy Writ forever. I have a feeling if God had said to her, hey, Naomi, I'm going to write this story, and Ruth does a fantastic job, and I have not illustrated on Ruth just in this particular take, but just think if God said to Naomi, hey, instead of being bitter, I'm writing a book, and you're a big player in it. How do you think she would have responded? What do you mean, you're writing a book? I'm in a book? Yeah, it's one that's going to last forever, and it's going to sell more than any other book ever. In fact, it's the only book that equals the amount of people on the planet. I'm sure that's a coincidence, or maybe not. And just think about it. She's probably like going, all right. And we didn't even discuss Ruth and her obedience and her allegiance. I didn't discuss it on purpose because I wanted you to recognize this from a Naomi point of view. From a pleasant to bitter to pleasant point of view. Because, unfortunately, I know a lot more Naomi's than I know Ruth's. I'm just saying. Here's the bottom line. He has not failed you. He will never fail you. The circumstances on this earth will never be as good as heaven. And heaven is the final, the destination where we want to go. People talk all the time, what's the journey? The journey's fantastic. I don't care for the journey. I'd rather we just be at the end of the journey. That's what I'm looking for, streets of gold. But in the meantime, maybe I can get a clue every once in a while and recognize that any sliver of hope should give me the attitude adjustment I need to push to the next step. Not just me, you too. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.